Our scripture reading for this morning is from the letter of James. This is a book of the Bible that we don't often hear from on Sunday mornings. And this is probably the most famous passage from the letter of James. So I invite you to listen as I read to you from James chapter 1. Begin at the 19th verse and go to verse 27. Listen for the word of God to you. You must understand this, my beloved. Let everyone be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to anger, for your anger does not produce God's righteousness. Therefore, rid yourselves of all sordidness and rank growth of wickedness, and welcome with meekness the implanted word that has power to save your souls. But be doers of the word, and not merely hearers who deceive themselves. For if any are hearers of the word and not doers, they are like those who look at themselves in a mirror. For they look at themselves and on going away immediately forget what they were like. But those who look into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and persevere, being not hearers who forget, but doers who act, they will be blessed in their doing. If any think they are religious and do not bridle their tongues, but deceive their hearts, their religion is worthless. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this: to care for orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself unstained by the world. May God bless this reading of his holy word to us today. Would you pray with me? Oh Lord, may the words of my mouth, the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, oh Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. So my own dad passed away in 2011, on New Year's Day of that year, to be precise. And I've noticed that since he died, certain memories have come to my mind, memories that really I didn't think that much about before. One of those memories is what I want to share with you this morning, and it comes from the time I was about 10 or 11 years old, and it has to do with school and a favorite teacher that I had. Now, this teacher at the time, his name was Mr. Bartlett. Isn't it weird how you can remember names from long ago and then not remember what you had for breakfast yesterday? Well, Mr. Bartlett was one of those cool, favorite teachers of all of the kids. And he taught social studies. So I remember a social studies class one particular day, and we had a test that I had studied so hard for. I took the test, and then after the school day was over, I got home, and I was going through and unpacking all my papers, and lo and behold, right there was the last sheet of the test that we had taken that day. Now, how it got mixed up and all of my things, I have no idea. Inadvertently, though, I had taken it home. And I was horrified. Horrified, to say the least. I was so upset. I was so distraught. I was one of those kids that just needed teachers to approve of me, you know. If a teacher looked at me funny, my day was ruined. And so I thought, how am I going to deal with this? I mean, Mr. Bartlett will think that I took part of the test home, put the answers down at home in a correct way, brought it to school the next day and say, oops, I accidentally brought this home, I'm sorry. I was so afraid. I was so afraid that he would think that I had cheated. I was so afraid that he would give me an F on the test. I was so afraid that he would make me fail the course. I was so afraid that the principal would talk to me and would expel me from school, and how could I face anyone at school again? I mean, really? I went down that road. So I knew I had to do something. So I decided to go to my dad. Now, my dad was one of these excruciatingly principled kind of persons. I mean, you did not make excuses around my dad. He was always, you know, seeing through different things. He thought about ulterior motives. My dad was a complicated kind of guy. But I went to my dad, not knowing what to do, and I explained everything to him. And you know what? My dad listened to me. Through my tears, through my upset, I talked about, I don't know how this happened. Part of the test came home with me, and I don't know what to do, and on and on and on I went. He listened to all the details of my distress. He listened to the depth of my feeling. And when I had gotten it all out, he said, "Let's see what I can do." And so he got out his fancy electric typewriter. He typed a letter, "Dear Mr. Bartlett, my daughter came home from school so distraught." I didn't even know what distraught meant. At the time, I had to look it up in the dictionary, that word, and that was true. I was so distraught. He wrote this whole letter out explaining the situation. He put the letter to Mr. Bartlett in an envelope along with that last paper from the test. I took it to school the next day, and you know what? It was all fine. Mr. Bartlett gave me an A on the test. I was so grateful. I hadn't ended up in jail. After all, that was my biggest fear. That was my biggest fear. You know, it's such a wonderful thing to be listened to when you are in need. Isn't it true that that is the greatest gift we can often give somebody else? To simply value them, who they are in their own skin. And isn't it the greatest gift that we can experience for ourselves? To truly be heard, to not be interrupted, to let the story of our lives out in such a way that then it is valued and it is honored and it is respected. I believe when we are listened to, when we have that experience of being able to share what is in the depths of our hearts, maybe we have a little bit of an inkling of what Brennan Manning has said, that our temperament, our personal history, our uniqueness, our flaws and foibles, our identity, our very existence, is one of the never-to-be-repeated ways God has chosen to express God's self in space and time. Tell me I'm naive, that there would be less problems with anger, there would be more understanding if we listened with ears for what a person is communicating. And I don't mean just with our physical ears, I don't mean with our minds, but I mean listening to communication that is heart-based. Tell me I'm naive that this wouldn't help all kinds of situations And our giftedness, our struggles, our challenges, and our joys would be more fully felt even by us. Tell me I'm naive to think that families would have less dysfunction. Teachers would have less problems in the classroom. Drivers would have less road rage. And this may be even a stretch, but this is my belief. I think our jails would not be so crowded if listening was truly valued in the way it needs to be valued. So I invite you to do an experiment sometime. This is something I often do as a way of a spiritual practice. Say you're in a grocery store, and the person in front of you, you know, they put their cereal and their milk on the belt as it goes through, and take a moment and just try to imagine who that person could possibly be. I mean, of course, you don't know anything about what they've experienced, but you do know that they have experienced challenges and frustrations and all kinds of issues with relationships. They've experienced dreams and losses in their own lives. And see if you can be able to sensitize yourself and think about another person's needs that you don't even know, and how that can represent the hurting in God's world. And see if life becomes less about you and more about what you have to offer others. Kay Lindahl, she's written this book, The Sacred Art of Listening. And she says, most of us spend about 45% of our waking hours listening. And think of the time you're taking this morning listening to me, and that's part of that 45% of your waking hours. And so we listen so much of the time, and yet we are distracted, preoccupied, forgetful, and we forget so much of what we hear. Marketing studies indicate that the average attention span for an adult is 22 seconds. And when someone has finished speaking, she says, we remember about half of what we've heard. And within a few hours, we can only recall 20%. Deep listening, she says, is a forgotten art, holy work. Lindahl also says that an interesting thing happens to people when they find out that she writes about the power and impact of listening in life. And she says, one of the first things they say is, that's wonderful. We could all learn to listen better. And then this quickly is followed by, would you talk to my husband, my wife, my boss, my kids, my partner, my sister, my brother? It seems like we all know of someone who we would like to listen to us better. But who is it that we need to listen to better? How can we recognize that as holy, sacred, divinely inspired work? The author of James says, let everyone be quick to listen and slow to speak. Slow to anger. Interesting how those things are put together. If you're quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to anger follows along naturally. Quick to listen, slow to speak. I mean, those are just six simple words. Simple words. They speak volumes. Think about waking up in the morning, having as your mantra, today I am going to be quick to listen, slow to speak. Quick to listen, slow to speak. Over and over, that going through your head. The author inspires his readers to welcome with meekness the implanted word of God that has power to save your souls. and to be not only hearers of the word, but doers. And that doing, in part, it just means having an attitude of hospitality, openness, readiness to receive who another person truly is. Not your projection of that other person, not who you think that other person is, but who that other person truly is. I don't know about you, but I'm amazed in my own life at how many preconceived notions, judgments, maybe even biases that I'm not aware of, stereotypes, hidden agendas that more than likely are hidden to me. I mean, those things melt away when I put myself in the position of truly listening and respecting another person and who they are. Could it be that such deep listening could even transform some of the big societal issues? Here's an account that I was so moved by. And I was listening to the radio, and I was actually driving to work, and this was only a couple of weeks ago, and I heard this wonderful, wonderful story. Very recently, this came out, and this incident happened in Everett, Washington. Okay. Shannon McCarty was using heroin and meth every day. Turns out she was a victim of a horrible, horrible childhood, rough upbringing, and she was continuing to be abused even as an adult. I'm sure many adults never listened to her. Shannon says she started smoking meth to deal with the long hours of working two jobs. Then she moved on to heroin and became addicted. And after just a short time, she was homeless. She hated her life. Okay? And then in 2017, Shannon was shooting up in a parked car when an officer showed up outside of her window. She was living in this vehicle at the time. The officer was a member of this group in Everett, Washington, called Community Outreach and Enforcement Team. And their mission is to get users the help that they need so that they can be clean and not be continually put into jail. And so the officer told Shannon that she could offer her help, but it was Shannon's responsibility to reach out first. Well, you know what? Shannon did soon send a text to the officer that had come upon her, because she had given her cell phone number. This is the text Shannon wrote, word for word. "I was hoping to set up a time to meet with you for your help on that stuff we had talked about. I don't want to go to jail or have a record, as I am this lost, depressed, hurt woman who has made a few poor choices, basically trying to end my life because I can't take the pain and hurt anymore. I don't want to be this judged person anymore. I just need some help, and I'm not usually one to ask for help, but I want to be me again. I am sorry, and thank you for listening, and I hope to hear from you soon. Thank you for your time, Shannon." Shannon heard back from the officer, again through a text. "I would love to meet, see if we could help you out. Please hang on, we'll help you." Shannon has now been clean for a year and a half. What an amazing story about compassionate listening. It's sort of like we generally think, I think, when all else fails, listen. Maybe it should be better this way. Listen so all else doesn't fail. So who in your life needs listening to, right? Can you truly, really see the need and find the willingness to engage in such deep and holy sacred work? What might go better in your life if you do? Thanks be to God for God's wonderful word to us today. As we begin this prayer time after my sermon, what I would like to do is just have a few moments of silence. And in that time, I invite you to bring to mind someone in your life that needs you to listen to them. To listen to them in ways that are deep and abiding. To listen in ways that express your heart. Hold that person in prayer. Help yourself find the strength to do this sacred and holy work. Loving God, we share with you those that are on our hearts this day. Help us be instruments of peace, understanding, compassion, and love. Help us be willing to bear the need of another and do that through the sacred, holy art of simply listening. Listening that with all that we are, listening in a way that speaks of your love. Guide us, we pray, in the week ahead. In Christ's name, amen.